The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dolville.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. How about you, my friend?
Everything's good. We got another week behind us, another week ahead of us, and lots of great home improvement stuff to talk about. Thanks, thanks everybody for joining us. It's pretty. It's a beautiful morning. A little crisp. I presume it's the same there, yes?
It is. Right, we're about 50 degrees.
Yeah. The windows stayed wide open last night. They're open now. Fresh air. All is good. Makes you think about home improvement. And if you're thinking about home improvement, give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll talk about what's on your home improvement mind. David, I put together, I'll have to go back so I can credit the source correctly. I cruise around online and just read the different blogs and stuff like that because I got nothing better to do. But I've got 10 home renovation projects under, it's from U.S. News and World Report. 10 home improvement projects or renovations under $5,000. And I'm not being a smart aleck when I say, post-COVID, that's a challenge because just about everything is crazy expensive.
Sure is.
And the good news is a lot of the projects that we talked about that would involve lumber that were just really crazy out of reach, right in the height of COVID, that's all back in line. I haven't checked, recently, but if you recall that the gentleman who called us this a couple, 3 weeks ago now and said, hey, what about lumber prices? And I just did a quick look at the, I think it was a random lengths index I looked at, and the composite for dimensional lumber is back to where it was in 2018, I think, if I remember those numbers right. So anyway, some of the craziness is gone. Supply chain issues still persist to one degree or another, but we'll run down these 10 projects. And David, I thought it would be good as we look at them to think about, different options, different ways of doing it without adding cost to it, of course, because we're trying to stay under this budget number. Kind of decide, is this a do-it-yourself project or not? Like, would you recommend that people tackle it themselves? As you can imagine, one of the projects is interior painting, just some interior paint stuff, right? Well, yeah, that's kind of a slam dunk. Well, it depends, I guess, if you're painting, walls in a room that with, 16-foot vaulted ceilings, you might.
Right, exactly.
You might want to rethink that. But I thought we could tackle those kinds of things and then just look at the products involved and think about options. I guess just as a comment, if we identify projects like, wow, this is something that we definitely want to do, then how do you think about, budgeting for it? Because maybe you've got $10,000 laying around. Maybe you filled your gas tank and now you don't. actually, it's getting better, I guess. Those are the things I thought. And then, of course, we have a product of the week. We have our Home Depot product of the week this week. And it's nice. I think it's perfectly in line with the conversation we're having about these projects under $10,000. And then we'll do tip of the week and stuff like that if we need to. What do you think?
I like it.
If you were going to say, here's a project under $10,000 that you would consider, what's one of the first ones that comes to mind for you?
Well, painting, mm-hmm. as you said, and then I think probably an entrance door.
Ah, yeah, okay.
So
that pays back, I think, still pays back best mm-hmm. of any of the investments that you make.
It does. I have four or five folks right now waiting for me to get on that for them, either measure or order or whatever, difference in various stages. But it was like a rash of it this year. It was unbelievable. So wow.
Maybe everybody's listening to us. What do you think? I thought you were going to say I have four or five entrance doors. I'm like, well, since it's such a good investment, I'm going to have four.
For us, it was that front porch on our house and the front entrance, because our house is one of those houses that's people come around to the side and to the back,
right?
You know, that know us, you know. Now obviously strangers would come to the door, but in this day and age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
most don't.
All right, that's good. We'll talk about whether your suggestions hit the list or not, David. All right, we're close to a break here, so we're gonna, before we start taking questions, we'll go ahead and take our break, folks. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or you can go to AskJohnAndDave.com, check out a lot of information there, and then click on the questions button and send us a question, or you can just go to questions@askjohnanddave.com. Got to spell the and. And we can tackle your question. Don't go away. Grab a cup of coffee, because the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave is coming back after these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call. You can join the fun at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. It is a beautiful fall morning. Let's get at it. Hey, Dad, I think I'm going to the Home Depot this morning to rent a log splitter.
Oh, good for
I've
you.
I've always wanted to do that. And I felled a massive tree a few weeks ago that was kind of dead and or dying. And so I'm gonna do it. Make some firewood. All right, 704-570-1110. Let's talk. David, 10 home improvement or home renovations under $5,000. The first one is an exterior paint job. All these things, to some degree or another, are dependent on the product that you use and the size of the job, right? If you're painting Biltmore House, well, it's all stone on the outside, I guess, but just as an example, could cost you more than $10,000. But as a general rule, typical home, decent quality paint, and you're going to be under $10,000. So that's all well and good. The question that comes to my mind, and I think, you know, callers have asked us this, and we've shared an opinion on it, but certainly the quality of paint used is critical. I mean, you can come in way under $10,000 with, you know, a very low-end paint. And so we've always spoken about using, you know, high-end quality paints. I've just been at all the different events, the Bear Challenges, where they do a triple blind test. Nobody knows what they're painting with. None of the reps, none of the painters, none of the people doing the tests. And I've never, every time, from a cost and performance perspective, Behr has outperformed even some pretty impressive brands. So I've always been down that path. But I want to talk for a second about like the Rhino Shield and the ceramic coating kinds of things. And maybe before we get deep into that, I see Mac has a question. But let's get Mac's question. And then I want to talk about, you know, go ahead and investing in some of those higher-end coatings and what your thoughts and opinions are on that. Right now, let's take a break. Not a break, but we'll talk to Mac. Mac, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good. Good morning, guys.
Morning. How can we help?
Well, the question I've got is, I had a brick company. Well, not a brick company, a brick mason. Brick in the front of my carport in anticipation of the closing it in.
Mm-hmm.
But evidently, from the guy that wants to do the enclosure, says it's not right and I have to tear it out. So I don't know if I need another opinion or...
What is his opinion?
Procedure of putting brick across the front entrance of a carport?
David, I defer to you on that.
It depends on how old the house is. You know, the codes change. So it used to be you could build a carport or a garage and you didn't have to put a footing across. So I don't know if he knows if there's a footing underneath that garage door, but you have to have one now. So it has to be continuous, the footing. And if you put one in now and there, because there wasn't one, they would drill the existing into the sides of the existing footing, and they would put rebar and tie that together. And then the other thing that would need to be done would be ties, some type of a tie in the brick that's laid in the brick as they bring it up off of the footing, so that you can tie the walls down to the brick.
Okay.
So does that sound like what could be part of the question involved?
Say again.
Does that sound like something that you'll have to address from the comments that the other gentleman gave you?
Back in the 70s house, but they had just come in front of the car, and I don't even think they put a footing in. They just sit there and bricked it up around the concrete that was actually in the carport.
Right. So essentially what you would have then is just weight. So there's already a header across that that's carrying the weight to the post and to the house, or to post, whatever that opening where you drove in the carport originally, that's bridged across there. So there's not a lot of weight, but you would have the weight of the wall and windows or doors or whatever was installed. So I'm just not sure, you know, what else they would have done wrong. Is it a double brick, double width?
No, it's a single width, about I think like 14 wide, 14 feet.
Right, but only one layer of brick.
Like,
so it's not two bricks.
About three or four.
Like, yeah, but not two bricks wide.
So a brick wall, and then a brick wall in front of it, basically.
Well, actually, they just put two bricks up in front of the entrance.
Okay. I think that's what you're asking, David, right? It's a double wall.
Yeah, it has to be a double width, so enough room for a 2x4 to sit on top.
That's correct.
To be
they've got that.
Okay. So it's 8 inches thick. So all I could figure is that's what's going on. Are you raising the floor in the carport?
Well, actually, not. I'm going to make it a den.
So you're going to step down out of the house, but you're not going to have are you going to have a door to the outside?
To the outside of the house, yes. And inside the house, I think I might end up taking the door off that goes in from the carport to the house.
Okay. So that it just sounds like maybe there's a couple of components missing. So really what you need is you need to have someone, either the general contractor needs to draw up some specs, or an engineer or someone, so that your brick mason knows exactly what he's supposed to do. I mean, if he was going to just lay brick across the opening, that's what he did. You know, I don't know if he even knew that it was going to be an addition, or if he knows that it needs to be, different than what it is. So,
correct. All right, glad I called you. The info.
Well, thank you for the call, Mac. Appreciate it. Mac gets squared up. Let's talk to Wayne. Good morning, Wayne. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
My call. I got a question. I used to be a contractor in Connecticut and did some work in Oklahoma, and now I live in North Carolina, but I'm not a contractor here. So back in 92, we put a house up, and I had them put footings in for a screened-in porch, and they were supposed to pour a slab connected to the footing, but what they did was they just poured a little 4-inch slab, and left about 2 feet of dirt in between the footing and there. Well, you know, we went back and forth with the builder, and they finally came out, and I was at work one day, and they dug it up, and they put in a slab with a monolith pour around the edge. Mm-hmm. And but they never connected it to the other footing that was there. And I've been watching this thing sink into the ground, and you know, my wife and I have been going back, and we finally decided now, 30 years later, we're going to put this screened in, or possibly another addition onto the back of the house. So my question is, with the city of Charlotte and all the changing codes and everything, would they make me put a new footing in back there for that room?
Well, it's possible. At the least, they're going to make you expose it, to show that it's there, and probably dig down beside it to see the depth, and then enough area for them to get a probe rod in and see what it is. Unless it was documented that it was poured and there's record of it and that it was inspected and passed.
Yeah, because you know, the house was originally built on an area that they built up. So I know the footings in the back of the house itself go down 6 feet. Mm-hmm. And so do the footings for this room. They go down about 5 or 6 feet down until they got to the, you know, to the ground that was able to support it.
Stable, yeah. Sure.
And, but, you know, I don't know if they did any, if the inspector came out and inspected that or not.
Okay. I think we're right against the break.
Yeah, Wayne, hang on 1 second if you don't mind. We're up against a hard break here. We've got to take it. We'll get you on hold so we can make sure we get you squared away. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break. You can call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or questions at askjohnanddave.com. We'll get you squared away that way as well. Don't go away. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave will be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we've got lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Before we do our Home Depot product of the week, we're going to finish up Wayne here. Wayne, thanks for waiting through the break. David, you were clarifying that the inspector's going to want to look at it unless it's recorded in the original documents as inspected. And then I think, Wayne, you said the footers go 6 foot till they hit stable soil,
right.
Which is substantial. That even rivals the frost line in Connecticut.
Yes, it does.
So, David, what else should Wayne be thinking about?
Well, I think that's it. That's probably going to be the first order of business, is just to make sure that that's been documented, that the footings were, in fact, inspected and okayed. I mean, once you get to that point, then it's just a matter of, as you know, Wayne, just getting the slab poured over top of the footings. I'm assuming it's going to be a slab.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to build it up until it's level with the house. And then pour another slab out there, because that other one that's out there, it's a step down to a patio. So, you know, if I'm going to have a room on the back of the house, I really don't want to have a step down. It becomes a tripping hazard for, you know,
sure.
I'm 66 now, so don't want to fall into my three-season room.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's the next order of business, is just to see if there's record of that. And then there is a... Once you call down there, they'll get the ball rolling. But there's also a residential assistance. So basically, they have a helpline. So you can talk to those folks, and they can guide you as to what they're looking for and what they want to do, so that you're not retracing your steps later. And they're pretty good, but it's. It's the residential assistance technical line or something. RTAC, I think, is the abbreviation for it. So
okay. Well, I appreciate your help.
They're pretty helpful. So I've talked to those guys a bunch of times, and they always do a great job. So.
All right. Well, thanks for your show.
Awesome. Thanks for calling.
Good luck.
Appreciate you. All right. 704-570-1110. Wayne's off to get the inspectors out and get on with life. David, let's do our product, our Home Depot product of the week real quick. I really like this. We're talking about renovations under $10,000 that can make a nice difference. And the product of the week this week is Dal Tiles Express Mosaic. It's a groutless mosaic tile. You do have to put thin set on the wall, and then you press it in place. They are interlocking, no grout required. So that part that really is the one that gives everybody fits because they don't get the grout off right, or you know, they got haze and then all kinds of back stuff. That's all goes away, as does the time, you know, it takes to do the grouting. So awesome. It's about $15 a square foot. So you can do a backsplash without incurring the national debt. And really, you can do accent walls and things around a fireplace or around a particular, accent wall. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week. It's Dal Tiles Express Mosaic, Groutless Mosaic Tile. Check it out. There's a lot of really cool patterns and designs. It's all fashion. I don't want to say fashion forward. It looks awesome. All right. 704-570-1110. That's our number. We're talking home improvement renovations under $5,000. Actually, I apologize. Under $5,000. We said exterior paint was one. And then, David, we wanted to talk about it makes sense to use a quality quality paint on any job that you're doing fundamentally. But in the case of an exterior paint, there's a lot of options. Most of the manufacturers have a very high-end exterior paint. I'm, again, partial to the there's the Marquee, and then what was the one you used on your house, David? It wasn't
the one right underneath.
Yes, I can't remember the name, but yeah.
I can't remember it either.
I was
thinking about how much paint we bought when we did the house, but I think we only bought like 30 gallons. We did all fives. And then I think I may have gone back and had to buy two 1 gallons on the trim to finish up. But we double coated everything as well. So
right. So what about the like Rhino Shield and the, you know, I just call them ceramic coatings. I'm not sure that that's precisely technologically correct, but it's the higher end coatings that come with pretty strengthy warranties and so on. What do you think about those products? And I hope I'm not putting you on a spot with that.
I think that coating is similar to the Sani Tread that we talk about. I think it's I'm not sure that's a polyurethane base, but it's somewhere along those lines. It's probably a very thick coating.
Yeah. Yep.
I have no doubt about the product if it's prepared properly, if the substrate is prepared properly, and then it's applied. I think it would last for a very, very long time. I don't know how the colors hold up, but the product itself is probably does very well.
Go ahead.
It's worth the investment. I would go out on a limb and say,
yeah, it's again, quality applicator, somebody that knows what they're doing. It's not just something that, you know, Chuck in a truck rolls up with his stuff and says, we're going to get this done. But so there's some qualifications to that. But I think it's, while it may push us over $5,000, if you think about total investment, might be a prudent decision. All right, we got to take another break. That goes fast. 704-570-1110, Home Depot Home Improvement Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. And we may have disconnected David. Not sure. Oh, that he took a little break. 704.
No, I'm here.
Oh, there he is. All right. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We're talking 10 renovations for your home under $5,000. And we talked about exterior paint. And said, hey, even stepping up the total cost by investing in one of the higher end, using a brand name like Rhino Shield, that sort of thing, is probably a prudent investment if you make it with a qualified applicator and so on. David, is typical exterior paint job on your house, you call that DIY or no?
It could be. It just depends on the house.
If you got a ranch house, maybe. Yeah. Right.
I think a ranch house, and I think if there's not a lot of preparation, so if you don't have a lot of rotten wood and things of that nature, then I think it's probably a DIYer. But if it's in bad shape and it hasn't been taken care of, you may want to get someone else in to take care of it this time, and then you stay after it after that if you have the energy and the gumption to go out there and do it.
Yeah. And then the other thing we didn't talk about, and I don't want to get us way off track, is treatment of windows and doors and penetrations of the surface, right? So caulk and making sure that all of that is taken care of at the same time that you paint. It's the time to do all that stuff together.
Yeah. So I think a good inspection of that and, opening up the windows. Making sure that because sometimes on wood windows, the rot will not just be on the outside; it can actually be in the jambs of the window. So I think there's multiple things that have to be looked at, studied. Although it's how many years has it been now that vinyl windows have been the norm, and wood windows are special order and vinyl are stocked.
Right.
It used to be just the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Much has changed. All right. Give us a call if you have a question on any of these projects or projects of your own. 704-570-1110. The next project, David, on the list of 10 is patios, a patio, and specifically a patio with pavers. Mm-hmm. It alleges that a 12 by 16 patio can be done for about $2,000. I didn't try to do the math. What do you think? Well, so it's they're saying that you would do a patio in lieu of a wooden deck the same size. I'm presuming they don't go into the details. I'm presuming they are operating on the premise that it's going to require that you're going to dig the holes and pour the correct footer, for want of a better term, for your posts and things like that. And I suspect that by the time you do all of that, at least the comparison is correct. What do you think?
I would agree. I think you can do it. The biggest thing is that you have to have gravel delivered.
Right.
As you and I both know,
yeah.
Maybe some of our listeners don't, but the key to a long living paver patio or driveway or anything is what's underneath.
Right.
The actual laying of the pavers is, it's a lot of work. We don't want to discount that, but it's something you could do, but you have to build a good base, because if you don't, you've just wasted your time and effort and money.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of really, really great options in as far as the types of pavers you do. And then depending on how tricky you want to get, how you lay them, the mm-hmm. different patterns. I've seen some really, really nice stuff, even for portions of an upper driveway, right, where they did a poured driveway. And then there's just a section that's just really nice pavers, at the apron. So lots of good options, super durable product. I think we would encourage you to use the correct sealer, but that would be just as you would take care of a wooden deck that wasn't a composite product, you would need to take care of the pavers, right? You would need mm-hmm. to keep them clean. I would argue, think about your joint sizes as you think about how often you're going to have to clean them, because if you start blowing the sand out and it's a big joint, you got to replace that, with a polymeric sand or something on that order. So, but definitely two thumbs up for a patio, especially versus a wood deck of the same or wooden right. deck of the same side.
Hey, all real right. quick, I wanted to throw this in there too. And this was a new product that, we talked about, the Silka system, or
right.
it's called Stone Deck now, but they actually have a grate that you put down in lieu of part of the stone. You still have to build a base, but I don't think you have to put as much. You can put this grate down, and then you backfill it with sand or screenings or whatever, and then you lay your pavers on top of that.
Ah, so you get some, you get stability.
So if you were thinking about doing that, it's at Stone Deck, and I think it's DEK .com, and you can look at that. I mean, you'd have to do the math. You know, over the gravel, but they probably have, and it's probably some savings there.
Yeah,
I would imagine, and some labor savings too.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to John. Good morning, John. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Hi. Good morning. Love your show.
Thanks.
Question. Thanks for listening.
We're looking at installing one of these electric fireplaces in our sunroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you guys had any experience with those, whether or not they really do throw off any heat, or what brand you might recommend. Can you give me any insight?
Go ahead, David.
I haven't. I've seen a couple of them. I don't know about the heat aspect. They look real.
Yeah.
I don't know how much heat they put off.
We put one, John, in one of the rooms in the basement here just to – because we wanted to have some auxiliary heat in the wintertime without cranking. It's all in the same system. The two floors are sized for the same system, the first floor and the basement. And so so puts off heat, definitely. It looks fine for the room that it's in. I do know that there are products out there that you see advertised that, and this is hyperbole, so please, I'll qualify my statement, but fundamentally, these like full page ads say, hey, get this, you know, heater, and basically it produces energy and it'll heat your house. It'll make all your children, you know, smarter than average. It just makes some wild claims about energy consumption and heat and so on. I think what you want to look at is find a quality manufacturer. I'm thinking, I'm drawing a blank on the people that I'll look it up at a break here. They do a little auxiliary heaters and space heaters and fans and cooling. Begins with a P. Polonis, I think, is one of them. And there's others out there, John. But look at it and just look at what it's consuming as far as amps and the BTUs that it's going to put out, and make your decision that way. After that, there's a lot of different options as far as, you know, what the style of it looks like. But I think the principle of those things, absolutely good. Just be careful not to get sucked into some of the things that say, you know, that this is some kind of miracle heater, because perpetual motion and BTUs without energy consumption are both in the same category. Not possible.
Yeah, we're looking at it in terms of just aesthetics, look nice, and thinking it would be nice if it did give off a little heat on a chilly morning.
Yep, that's precisely what we did in the basement, and I would do it again in a minute.
Do you have gas available, natural gas?
Well, not really, no.
Okay.
That would be electric only.
Yeah. I think you'll be satisfied. You pick a quality manufacturer and a design that you like, and I think you'll be very pleased.
Okay.
Are you going to put a ceiling fan out there also, John?
Yeah, I've got a ceiling fan in the room.
Yep, and then you just reverse it in the wintertime, you know, and it cycles that heat a little better for you. You're going to like it. I think you'll be happy.
All right, good deal.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right, John gets off to buy the electric fireplace that he wants, and we're going to go away and take a little break. Don't go away yourself. Stay tuned. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or go to AskJohnAndDave.com and click on the questions button. Two ways to get information to and from the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. Grab a cup of coffee, grab your honey-do list. We'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're taking calls this morning, as we always do. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We want to talk about what's important to you. We're also talking about home renovation projects that are under $5,000. So things that are affordable in a time when a lot of things, you know, aren't quite as affordable, certainly, as they used to be. We've talked about an exterior paint job. We've spoken about a patio made of pavers versus a deck, a wooden deck. And the next one up is a slam dunk, David. I think you called it out when I said, "Hey, what would you call? What would you say?" And it's interior paint. Inexpensive way. You can use some really, really great products and colors and accent walls and stuff like that. And it's still a very inexpensive way to make a pretty significant change. I think it's the same as we talked about exterior, right? It's like pick the quality of paint that's good. Unless, to your point, David, there's major issues, like it's an unusual surface or something. It's do-it-yourself project. You check that box every day, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's kind of a slam dunk. So that's one that adds, well, enjoyment, gives you kind of a fresh look, but also comes in way under $5,000. Again, if you're, you know, painting the Taj Mahal, your price tag goes up. But as a general rule, typical house, not a problem. No big things there. I'll save that. I had a conversation, Dave, I shared with you before we got on the air this morning, that I had a conversation with a couple of folks at Behr that I work with pretty regularly. They've got some cool products out there. I know a couple of them you're already aware of. We'll save that because I think we're going to get those guys to give us a few minutes of their time just as guests to be able to talk about, you know, trending and styles and product specs and things like that. So I won't spoil that. The next project, definitely want your thoughts on this because there's a lot of options, is hardwood floors. That was one of the renovations under $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that? Because you chose another solution in your home, and we had a call last week. I can't remember a woman's name who called us. Let's see. Before we go down that path, David, Harry has a water heater question. We'll jump over there. Good morning, Harry. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning? Harry, you there?
Electric, and it's time to replace it. And our question is, if we have both electric and gas capable in the house, is a duct, the water tank, is that a better solution than just going back and replacing the old electric hot water heater?
I mean, the recovery times for gas are typically better. I'd have to go back and look at the chart to see, you know, the cost. You can, is it A.O. Smith, I think, is the manufacturer that has on their website. I think they all do. You can go to Rheem, A.O. Smith. I'm forgetting the third one, but you can look up there what the energy consumption per year is for each of the types of water heaters and sizes. I think that, David, the problem that Harry could potentially face in shifting from electric to natural gas, if gas is available, is how he ducts it. It probably has to be a direct vent if he doesn't have a way to get a flue out. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Unless they put it in the attic. I mean, you still have to vent it, but it becomes somewhat easier to vent. But if you're, you know, if you're a two-story house and you're on the first floor and you have to vent it out from the first floor, it becomes quite a project. So okay. It depends on where you put it.
What about a tankless one?
You could go to a tankless and mount it on the outside of the house, which is a pretty popular. But the payback is a long time on something like that. So, you know, I think John, you did a show, and I wasn't with you, but you talked about a mixing valve,
right?
And I just think in a situation like that, I would probably stay with an electric water heater. I would turn it up higher and put a mixing valve on top, and I think you'll have an endless supply of hot water.
That does solve the recovery rate challenge that we talked about, Harry. And what all it is, and there's some different brand names for it, Harry, but David's right. You turn the thermostat up, so you keep the water in the tank a little bit hotter, and then this mixing valve has a thermostat in it. It's, I believe it's a spring, like a bimetallic spring, and it opens to allow some of the very hot water from the tank to be mixed with regular temperature water coming in, so that the water going out to your hot water side of your shower or tub or sink is the desired temperature, 120, whatever it is. And so it sips water from the tank, and it sips water from the regular line to produce the temperature you want, but it doesn't take all of the heat, you know, from the tank, draining the tank faster, or draining the hot part of the tank faster, which means the recovery time is better on an electric heater because you don't have to heat 50 gallons all at once.
Okay.
But does that make sense?
You're not an advocate of the tankless heat water heater at all.
I say again. I'm sorry, Harry.
But you don't believe in the tankless as just a replacement?
We definitely believe in the tankless. It's a great product. Sometimes people want a tankless heater because it's going to save them money. They say, like, well, I don't have to keep all this water hot all this period of time.
Right.
And if you're saving money is your goal, the cost of putting a tankless in, and then how much each year you can deduct back from that cost and energy savings, it's got like a 10, 12 year payback, right? So it's more for situations where you want to save space or relocate something and not have to run, you know, gas lines or power lines or so, and plumbing lines.
Right.
But if it's energy saving that you're after, Harry, a tankless is no better and no worse than I shouldn't say no better and no worse. It's a payback question, right? You're going to invest more, and the time it takes you to recoup that investment in energy savings is pretty significant.
Okay. I appreciate your help very much.
Thank you for the call, Harry. All right. Sandy, we see you out there, but we got to take a break. Don't go away. Sandy stays with us. Any others can call 704-570-1110. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave will be back right after this. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we are taking calls. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Here comes Sandy. Sandy, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate your show. We purchased a heat pump, heating and air system about 13 years ago, and we're running up against the end of its lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to show some signs of wear. So we're wondering, in light of what I've understood to be new standards coming out in 2023, are we better off to go ahead and replace that system this fall or wait till 2023?
The SEER rating or the SEER requirements are going up, and I don't recall exactly from I think they're what now, 16 minimum, Dave? Are they going to 18?
I thought it was 14.
14 to 16.
And I'm not sure if it's staying at 14, but they're reworking the way they do it. It's kind of the way I understood it, but I might be wrong. Anyway.
Sandy, I think if the question is your question is, hey, is this the appropriate time, or should we try to eke out a little bit more and get you know, the next gen? I think that the real determining factor is the refrigerant that's going to be used. Our understanding is we've gone from R20 to R410A. Now we're switching from R410A. I don't know what the nomenclature will be, but there is a different refrigerant that will be used. I don't know that it doesn't make sense to go ahead and replace your unit now, insofar as costs of these things continue to go up. If the challenge you will have is 10 years from now, if you have R410A as the refrigerant in the system you purchased today, and you need to replace some of the refrigerant, the cost of that refrigerant is likely to be high. I don't know that that's a reason not to make the transition now if you're ready for it. You've got plenty of time to shop around. You might want to reach out to our friends at Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical or Charlotte Comfort Systems and ask the question, because they can tell you what equipment is available now that will meet the new specs. And whether, I don't think anybody's manufacturing a product with the new refrigerant yet. So anything that you buy, and I don't know when that goes in effect. In fact, if you purchase it next year, you may still be using R410A as a refrigerant, in which case I think you're okay.
Okay. So if we purchased one of the existing systems now, would we be able to get the refrigerant in 10 years, you know,
yes,
when it starts needing
yes.
to be replenished?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It'll just be a little more expensive than whatever the refrigerant is that they're using at that time in 10 years.
Yeah, we're Dave, go ahead.
It's going to be some propane-based product, I believe. So I think you'll be fine. So as long as, if you're going above 14 or 16 SEER anyway, you're going to be fine. It's not really going to affect you with what's happening with the new equipment that's coming out. But the refrigerant in the future will be, it'll be of some concern. It's probably not going to be a huge concern. Will you be in that house in 10 years, but it'll still be available.
Yeah, we're 5, 6, maybe 7 years past the switch from R20 to R410A, and R20 is still available, right? And then the decision in 10 years, Sandy, you'll be looking at it and saying, wow, I'm 10 years into this. I've lost some of the efficiency. Should I think about reinvesting? If you're going to pay, I don't know, $5,000 to buy refrigerant, that's just pure hyperbole. But you'll be in the same situation again, not in a bad sense, to say, okay, I now have a choice. I can replace the refrigerant in the system or components here, or I can purchase a new system, and who knows what the energy efficiency will be by that point, right? So I think if you're ready and you've shopped and you found the system you want from the provider that you want, then I think there's no reason to delay.
Okay. I heard an interesting ad on the radio the other day, said some company is advertising that they have a bunch of current units that they will not be able to sell once 2023 gets here. So get them now while they're lower priced. Is that accurate? I mean, will they be unable to sell their stock on hand in 2023, or was that sort of a loss leader comment?
No, traditionally, when the EPA changes the minimum requirements for the seasonal energy efficiency rating, when they change that, there's typically a grace period. The manufacturers have to stop manufacturing by a certain date and time, and they can continue to sell existing inventory until a date and time. And then the same thing for the installers. I would need to go back and look, or again. If you wanted to reach out, I'd be very confident in the guidance that you would get from Acosta or from Charlotte Comfort Systems. But they will know the exact dates. I don't know that. In fact, I don't know that the dates have been set yet.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
And don't forget, if you're going to go above 14 SEER, so if you're going with the 16 or 18 SEER system, it's that part's not going to affect you.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Because that's what the first change is about. The second change is going to be the refrigerant. And that hasn't, that's not going to be, I don't think that's going to happen until, I think, another year or two, maybe.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your guidance on that.
Well, I'm glad you called, Sandy. All right, let's talk to Eddie. Eddie, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Good morning. The quick question I've got, I'm getting ready to build a house or basically going to be a vacation home in the mountains in Hendersonville.
Mm-hmm.
What would be better on it, a tankless hot water or a continuous hot water?
Electric or gas?
probably going to be electric unless it's going to be propane. I don't have access to natural gas.
Yeah, that's kind of what I suspected.
Well, here's the thing is that with technology that we have today, you could put a electric water heater in and have an app that you can control that with your phone. So if the concern is
I think we lost Eddie.
We lost him. There we go.
I thought that sounded weird.
Yeah, something was going on. But yeah, John, you've seen that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So you could control the water heater from your phone, which is pretty neat, especially if it's, as he says, if it's a vacation home. I like the idea of a tankless when you're not there because you're not heating the water, but right. You still have to remember there's maintenance involved with it. And then, you know, I guess if you're building a new house, you're not going to really notice the difference in cost.
Right. You're rolling it into the cost and you're paying, you know, dollars a month for a small investment.
Right.
The mortgage.
So I don't know. I think you could go either way on that. But as long as you have the tools and you know what you have the choices are, then I think you're in pretty good shape.
Right. And I think in the construction, you're going to have to make sure if it's going to be electric, you need a certain size service because many times it becomes cost prohibitive for folks to switch from an electric tank to electric tankless because the amount of energy it requires to heat the water that quickly, and sometimes either the electric service or the circuit to the tank is not adequate, and a little bit work needs to be done there. You can do that during the construction phase also, and it becomes a non-issue. So no reason not to go tankless, but if you chose to go with the tank, you wouldn't be making a terribly imprudent decision. All right, we are up against another break. And if you're still out there and you need to call back, certainly do that, 704-570-1110. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show is coming right back. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dovell.
We are taking calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a shout. We'll talk about home improvement. We're going to do our Home Depot product of the week. It's a nice little mesh with the conversation that we're having about inexpensive, less than $5,000 renovations. The product is Express Mosaic from Daltile, and it's mosaic tiles. Come in small, manageable sheets or pieces, if you will. They fit together, interlock, and there's no grout, no grouting required. You put thin set on the wall, and you place the tile, you know, the sheets of tile, if you will, in place. Push them in, and no grout, which saves lots of time, lots of money, lots of headaches going back because you didn't get all the haze off from the grout. Really good looking. So sometimes you get things that are easier to do and you don't get all the style and the aesthetic benefits. Check them out online. Really great styles, designs, and so on. You can do herringbone, you can do horizontal, just some really round, really good designs. It's Express Mosaic, Groutless Coastal, or Groutless Tile. Check them out. It's our Home Depot product of the week for this week. David, that's one of the things that, we're going to get into. We were talking hardwood floors, so we didn't take a deep dive into that, but just a quick detour. It's not in our 10 projects under $5,000, but redoing a backsplash or even an accent wall, big, big difference, not necessarily big, big bucks. So not a bad thing. Let's talk hardwood floor, though. Hardwood floors was one of the products that they suggested, or one of the projects that was suggested as coming in under $5,000 and making a big difference. And I would agree that that's true. We've done hardwood everywhere except the bedrooms in our home now. But David, so number one, hardwood floors. You guys chose LVT for your home, right?
We did with a plank floor. Our big thing was we were going to use some hardwoods here and there. Gina did not want hardwoods in the kitchen. We've had them in a couple of houses, and it just doesn't do as well.
Right.
But we didn't want to put hardwoods throughout. We wanted something that's a little easier to take care of and a little more waterproof. We have a swimming pool, so that was a concern. So anyway, we chose the laminated plank height. It's you have a little bit of a problem when you go from a laminated plank to a 3/4 inch floor to make that transition. And really, the only way you can do it is you have to build up the other floor and then let the plank end up equal or at the same height as the hardwood, so that you can make that transition with a small strip. And we just chose not to do that. Just went all the way with the laminated plank and tile. We have tile in the bathrooms.
I think, and in deference to the folks at U.S. News and World Report, the folks who published this, their home group, in deference to them, I think no one would argue that a flooring job, replacing floors would be a worthwhile renovation, a meaningful renovation, and going the LVT route or the laminated vinyl tile or the click lock type of vinyl tile would qualify, right? You're still under that $5,000 price point.
Mm-hmm.
And very durable, meaningful difference in how a floor performs and looks, especially if you're transitioning from carpet. But certainly even transitioning from ceramic tile or some of the other different things that are available. And in the case of the LVT, many of those products can go over existing floors. You do have to, David, to your point, pay attention to the height changes, but certainly a very forgiving product in that regard as well.
Right. And then I think, too, just to qualify, so if you chose a hardwood floor, you could put down a 3/8 glue down floor, or you can actually staple those floors too.
Right.
If I'm going to go hardwood, John, I'm going to go with a pre-finished. If I'm going to do it myself, I'm going to do a pre-finished 3/4 inch floor. Just simply because you still have the capability to sand that floor in the future if need be. The cost is there's a little bit more cost involved with the floor itself, but the installation is pretty much the same. You're going to go through the same amount of work. If you were going to choose a finish in place floor, in other words, one that comes raw wood and then it has to be sanded, you could install that yourself as well, but you probably are going to want to hire someone to come in and do the finish work. That's probably going to put you over the number that we've set of $5,000.
Yeah,
unless you're just doing a room.
You're right, and this premise is that you redo, you know, the main portions of your home, right? And they have the qualifier. Hey, look, it can be more. If your house is bigger, it's going to cost more. It's just some common sense thing.
Sure, absolutely.
But absolutely, I kind of am inclined to think the same way you do. If I'm going with, you know, full 3/4, if I'm going with a pre-finished, I want it to be full stock so that I can come back later on and change it either to fix, you know, wear and tear without worrying, or even to change radically the color at some point in time.
And you know, it's a great hardwood floors are it's a great choice, I think. I don't think you can go wrong with them. Just for those reasons, is that you can sand multiple times, you can change colors. And just as we did for a customer last week, we did a screen and a recoat. The floors were just too shiny, and they had some imperfections. But you know, for a dollar and a quarter a square foot or whatever it was a pretty good deal. And they're renewed, and they look beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, we got to take a break, folks. It's 704-570-1110. Lines are open. Give us a call. We'll return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. We're in the lightning round. We've got lines open, and we can take your calls. We've got a full segment yet, so we don't want to go away too soon. David, we're talking about home renovations under $5,000. We've spoken about exterior paint jobs, a patio, outside patio versus a deck of the same size, a wooden deck of the same size, interior paint, kind of a slam dunk, hardwood floors. And we compared hardwood floors a little bit to the new laminated vinyl tile products, and both great products. really depends on what you're after as far as, you know, final end product. The investments are reasonable on both ends. The next one that they called out, and I don't know that these are in any particular order, but I kind of like this one. David, it's built-in shelves. Around a fireplace as a, almost as an accent wall. I was just reading my Journal of Light Construction came in yesterday or Thursday, and it's got a whole section on built-in seating, like a window seats, right? And I don't know if that's all of a sudden trending or what, but I really like the idea of built-ins. I think it's a good do-it-yourself project if you're handy and you've got the tools. Although I built my first set of cabinets and stuff like that just with a lot of clamps and straight edges because I didn't have table saws and miter saws and all that stuff, and it seemed to work just fine. But I think it makes a huge difference on how a plain wall looks. You get storage, which means you can keep more stuff. What do you think? Well, first off, do you think it's a do-it-yourself project?
I think it can be. I mean, obviously, you have to have some skills to,
right,
to do it. It's not something you want to tackle if you, if you don't really understand the tools, if you don't have the tools to do it. But you do need a table saw to a point.
Yes.
If you're looking for close to perfection. But it just depends. I mean, we could say that about everything we've talked about. Do you have the skills? Do you have the skills to do it? But if you do and you're confident, you could do it. And one of the ways you keep that cost down too, John, if it's going to be painted, is you use a MDF, a medium density
right,
fiberboard, and that can really help you keep the cost down.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that just is one of the things. I know one of the lumber yards that I deal with, they build that stuff in-house.
Right.
And we'll do custom, they come out and measure it and then build it. Of course, that's custom. But that's what they're using for the most part is MDF. And then sometimes they cover the front with wood, you know, to make the shelf look thicker. But it works pretty well.
And some of the images that I'm looking at, it's very common to see built-ins, you know, either side of a fireplace or something like that. Some of these images show a couch and like lighting features over the couch where you would sit and you could read or whatever, but then built-ins either side of a nice little like nook or alcove into which the couch fits, right? So it's not like, hey, you got a fireplace or I don't have a fireplace. You can do all kinds of things. It could be, I saw just beautiful, kind of looked like a study and really nice built-in shelves. And in the center, I forget how they designed it, but it was actually a Murphy bed, right? So it dropped down and it was an extra sleeping space. So there's a lot of cool things I think that you can do, in that arena if you want to, add like a space or just freshen up and not have to get, you know, a second mortgage on your house.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe you could do what John earlier was talking about with using an electric fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could mix that in there with it because I looked those up after when we were at a break and they're pretty reasonable.
They're very reasonable and they put off heat. They put off
yeah,
enough heat. I don't know how big John's, you know, sunroom or what, you know, was going to be, but they are good. They're very good, worth doing, and they look decent. So that would be a nice flexible thing, and you wouldn't have to do a full blown fireplace, right? If you decided later on, I don't want to have it there, take it away and unplug it.
Next, there you
what's
go.
Next, right? All right, so that's good. So there's so that's good. We say two thumbs up to that concept. The next project under $5,000 that they call out is new appliances for your kitchen. I agree in not changing anything in your kitchen except appliances is really good. It's just that the appliances have been such a nightmare since COVID. The supply chain still, it's way, way better than it was, but it's still unstable, feels like. I don't know what you're seeing. Are you doing projects, David, that require appliances?
Are you in kitchens? I have not done one that wasn't already in the works. The appliances weren't already purchased before all that happened. So
yeah.
No, I haven't experienced. I haven't had to deal with it. Kind of glad too.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's
like
a real
challenge. There's a divine hand that's guiding me.
Well, there is, whether it's got anything to do with appliances or not.
I know.
You might be right.
Thank you, Lord.
He's got appliances. No. I just do it all day, every day for like these large property investors, right? And they work so hard to get the packages right and really mm-hmm. put good stuff in there that's going to hold up and so on. And it's a challenge. It's a genuine challenge, but it's definitely a worthwhile investment. And then normally the advice would be, well, just order them well in advance, right? And if you're not renovating your entire kitchen, you're just changing appliances out. The length of time it takes is almost irrelevant, right? Because it's not like, okay, it's got to go in at this phase of construction or the world comes to an end, right? So
right.
that's kind of a benefit. I hear both sides of the equation, right? Because we'll say, well, order well in advance. It's going to take you at least 6 to 8 weeks to get it. The minute you plan 6 to 8 weeks, it shows up on Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a challenge out there, but still absolutely a worthwhile investment. And look at the different suites, LG, GE, Samsung, they all have different suites of products, and those are genuinely good, I don't want to say bargains, but good investments.
Mm-hmm.
So we can add that to the list, I think, and be right. And then here's one I know that's near and dear to your heart, David, is just redoing the countertops.
Yes.
No changes, just redo the countertops. If you were counseling someone, said, I don't want to change the footprint. I love what I got. I just want new countertops. Where do you direct them product-wise?
Well, I think the stones, whether it be a synthetic, you know, like a silestone or whatever, or granite, either one. I mean, I think it just depends on what you're after, what the look that you're after. So, I love both of those products. I think they're beautiful. They're timeless, and I think it just makes a huge difference in a space, a kitchen space, when you just change out the countertops. It's amazing the difference that it can make.
It is. Yeah, it's pretty significant. It is pretty mm-hmm. significant. And again, it's an investment that does not break the bank. I just made a note here as I was preparing, and we don't have to do anything or talk about it, but it feels like butcher block is back, but now it's legit hardwood butcher block. Have you seen that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And we put a island with that. So we have a mix of man-made product. And then we have a maple butcher block, piece of furniture in there is exactly what it is.
Right. Yeah.
But it's usable. I mean, we still put a cutting board. We don't cut on it because, you know, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful right. piece of art. We don't want to ruin it. But right. Yeah, that is very popular. And putting wood in kitchens has been making a comeback for some years now. So they mix a little wood with some stone, and you get a nice look.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we are done. Holy moly. Time's up, folks. I hope this has been as enjoyable for you or informative for you as it was enjoyable for us. Don't forget, you can send us a note at AskJohnAndDave.com. We can help you with questions that way. And at the end of each show, we like to remind you that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week, and we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.